afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello, and welcome to Family First. I'm Randy Rolfe, your host, and I'm really excited about my guest today. All over the media, we see evidence of family feuds and conflicts between celebrities and their parents, and between celebrities and their children, and between jealous siblings, jealous spouses, and of course the ever-present statistics about divorce. There's a huge need for understanding about forgiveness in our families today, and I'm so privileged to have Philip Friedman, a licensed clinical psychologist and psychotherapist, as our guest today. Hello, Dr. Friedman.
Hi, Randy. I'm delighted to be on your show today.
Great. And he's practiced psychotherapy and healing for over 30 years near Philadelphia. We've known each other a long, long time, and his work is just magnificent. He's an adjunct faculty with the Institute for Transpersonal Psychology, a diplomat in comprehensive energy psychology, and executive director of the Foundation for Well-Being, also the founder of that. His books include The Forgiveness Solution, which is a fabulous book we'll be talking about today, The Whole Body Prescription for Finding True Happiness, Abundant Love, and Inner Peace, and also the book Creating Well-Being, The Healing Path to Love, Peace, Self-Esteem, and Happiness. He's one of the founders of Integrative Psychotherapy and Integrative Healing. He's published original research on forgiveness, gratitude, and well-being in a clinical population with dramatic changes in a relatively short time. He's also developed the Friedman Assessment Scales and is trained in leading-edge therapies, including marital and family systems therapy. And you can find him on the web at philfriedman.com and forgivenesssolution.com. And his colleagues look to him for some of this cutting-edge understanding of, a spiritual and advanced modern approach to psychotherapy. So thanks so much for being on the call, Dr. Friedman.
Well, I am delighted, Randy, delighted. As you know, we know each other a long time, so I'm delighted to have this opportunity to be one of your first guests.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So I'm eager to talk about forgiveness. I just want to get started. Like, how did you come to write a book about forgiveness? I know a lot of psychologists don't even go there, and it's just wonderful that you have explored this. So what brought you to see the importance of this topic?
Well, I'll give you the short version. I was like director of training in marital and family therapy at Jefferson Medical School back in 1977 when I came across a series of books called A Course in Miracles, which are three books on spiritual growth whose key theme was forgiveness. So I started applying this to my life and the clinical psychotherapy clients that I work with and found it, really personally and professionally beneficial. Then over the years, I started actually doing some clinical research on forgiveness and gratitude. I was also very big on gratitude as well as well-being, which was the title of my first book, and published three professional articles in professional journals. So that actually led to an encounter with a potential publisher and a book proposal, and one thing led to another, and eventually the book got, published. There's more to it, but that's the brief version.
Right. Well, that's fascinating that you had both personal and clinical and research background behind it before you even decided to write a book about it. It's awesome. Before we get more into forgiveness, I'd love to ask about well-being. How do you you're the source on this? How would you describe well-being in the family context?
Well, it's really pretty simple, well-being involves love, compassion, peace, joy, goodness, and of course in families and couples, the ability to listen, empathize, and communicate from the heart and communicate effectively. I think that's, the essence of it, also the ability to be resilient when there are, the numerous challenges that come up during family life over the years.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I think so much of it is about communication and being able to bounce back when challenges come, which they always do. So what do you think the role is in the family? I know I've written myself a lot about the necessity of being able to forgive yourself, and especially for parents, we know we aren't perfect and we make mistakes, and that can cause problems. So can we start with that idea about forgiving yourself in the family context?
Well, you know, there are very few people go through life that don't have grudges, grievances, criticisms, attack thoughts against themselves, and have a great deal of difficulty letting go of that hurt, anger, guilt for various and sundry things. So really, self-forgiveness is very powerful. You know, being kinder, more compassionate, more loving to yourself, and in particular, being able to be as kind, compassionate, loving to yourself and letting go of those grievances, judgments as you would do to other people or even your kids or friends, you know. So a lot of the techniques that are in my book, The Forgiveness Solution, are designed to help not only learn how to forgive others, but certainly learn how to forgive yourself and be a more peaceful, joyful, happier person.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Would you say that forgiveness is something you have to be born with, or is it something that can be learned?
Oh, I don't think too many people are born with forgiveness. I like to say that the ego mind, which is pretty central to a lot of people for a long time, doesn't really want to forgive. We have to learn how to forgive in most cases. So first, we have to learn how to forgive towards particular people in our lives, our parents, our spouses, our children, etc. And then we develop a disposition or a general attitude towards forgiveness. But I think in most cases, people need to learn forgiveness.
Do you think the society is involved in that? That it sometimes it's like the media kind of encourage grudges and anger and don't really focus much on the ability to be generous and forgive.
No, unfortunately, we live in a kind of an attack withdrawal, attack defend world here. It's sort of the ego mind on a large scale basis here, and we don't, I can't say we don't hear about forgiveness at all. I mean, starting in 1993, the forgiveness started to grow in the research literature. Now it's much greater and of interest than it used to be. But, you know, all you have to do is turn on the television, go to the Internet, or read the newspaper to see how much, anger, guilt, resentment, hurt, grudges, grievances, and general attack thoughts are massive in the world culture and the media these days. So it's something that needs to be popularized and learned.
Yeah, I think especially in the family now, we hear so much about kids being emotionally abusive to their parents and vice versa because everybody's overworked and impatient and, like you say, attack mode. That's so true. How do you think that a parent can best use forgiveness in his or her life with their child?
Well, first, the parents need to be a model of forgiveness with each other. You know, a lot of things come up in stresses and strains and in a couple life, they have to be a model for forgiveness with each other, letting go of the hurt, the anger, the resentments. Also, they have to model being forgiveness with their parents and in-laws and friends. And then, of course, they need to learn, you know, if a kid does something that they consider conventionally bad or wrong, they don't do homework, or they come home late, or they break something, or they're mean to their brothers or sisters, or they don't get good grades, or they hit someone. They have to let go of the upset relatively quickly or as quickly as they can and see that these actions usually cover up fear in some way or hurt or disappointment, and that fear is a call for help and a call for love. So learning how to see things from the kid's perspective and being a little bit more compassionate and kinder, these are all some of the ways that parents can model and teach their kids how to be more forgiving.
Great advice. Do you see a way that parents need to prepare themselves for things that go on between them and the child? Is there a way that they can do exercises, like from your book, of training themselves to be, like you said, getting over the upset a little quicker so that they can be more constructive in the relationship?
Well, one of the things I talk about in the book is called the carpet of forgiveness. The carpet of forgiveness is kind of assuming that in the future things are going to come up in your life in general, and certainly between parents and children, that you know, that you're going to feel let down by or disapprove of or things like that. So you imagine walking down this carpet and imagine different things come up, in this case with your kids or your spouse or whatever, and you imagine yourself actually kicking in or activating forgiveness at that point, you know, letting go of the judgments and grievances and criticisms relatively quickly and being more compassionate. So it's like anticipating the future and preparing yourself. You might say it's a kind of a mental rehearsal for things that might occur in the future. Now, those exact things might not occur, but if you do that frequently, you'll develop a kind of a disposition or attitude to being more forgiving and be prepared. We say there's always forgiveness opportunities that come up in people's lives, and these are just one of them that you're talking about.
Absolutely, yes. I love that idea of the rehearsal and walking in the carpet and knowing that things are going to jump in front of you, but you can keep going and let go of them. What can you give an example where you've been able to help a family or spouses model better so that there's less tension in the family, either between the parents or with the kids or whatever it might be?
Well, for better or worse, I see a lot of couples where, you know, one person has had an affair currently going on or in the past, or there's some kind of emotional relationship developed at work other than with your spouse. So, you know, learning how to forgive and to heal those kinds of relationships, because they can generate some really powerful emotions. Hello?
Yes, uh-huh.
Then, you know, many people have been unfortunately abused as a child or abandoned by a parent, and modeling, you know, the ability to forgive in those situations is also very powerful.
Okay, let's come back to that. We're supposed to take a short break now. We're talking with Dr. Philip Friedman, one of the leaders in for the movement for understanding forgiveness better in our personal lives and in our family lives. So please keep listening.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe.
To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolf@randyrolf.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello, we're back with Dr. Philip Friedman, and we were talking about how parents can model forgiveness between themselves and some serious events that can happen in a couple. So before we go on with that example, let's talk about what it means to forgive.
Yes, that's very important, of course. Now, there's sort of like two prerequisites, I say. Number one is a little willingness to forgive. That's very important, a little willingness. And then a conscious choice that you're willing to learn how to forgive. Those are prerequisites. Now, here are the key elements in forgiveness as I see it. First, letting go of the anger, resentment, bitterness, guilt, shame, sadness, hurt, all those distressing emotions. Learning how to shift your perceptions, perspectives, and attitudes towards yourself or other people. Releasing the grievances, judgments, and attack thoughts behind the distressing emotions. Of course, experiencing greater peace, happiness, joy, well-being, healed relationships, and frequently improved health. Seeing the inner goodness within yourself and others. Developing compassion, acceptance, and love for yourself and other positive feelings, and finally realizing that whatever happened, that situation is a great opportunity for personal relationship and spiritual growth. So those are the seven key components that I see in the definition of forgiveness, and there are probably some others, but those are the main ones.
Oh, that's brilliant. It makes so much sense. Let me back up a little bit to, you said release the attack mode. What is a way that parents can, or not parents, but people, anybody in family situations particularly, because when people are closest to us, it's easiest to feel threatened by, the situations that arise. How do you recommend for a parent to get rid of that fear that wants them just to lash out and be unforgiving?
Well, I have a little exercise which I'll try to condense here that people can practice, you know, even without seeing me on the phone. You could go something like this. You put one hand on your heart, and then you say to yourself or out loud, depending on the circumstances, even though I have this distressing emotion, say fear or anger or hurt or guilt, I accept myself deeply and profoundly, and I am a good, competent, and magnificent person. You repeat that a couple of times, then you say, I love myself unconditionally despite my problems, limitations, challenges, and this distressing emotion. You say that two or three times, and then you say, I like to say, I am entitled to miracles. I am definitely entitled to miracles. So if you put your hand on your heart, now, of course, this is, you know, in the book, but if you put your hand on your heart and you repeat each one of those statements two to three times, it really can help promote an emotional and mental and energetic shift.
Isn't it wonderful the way we actually listen to ourselves when we're really speaking the truth? It's wonderful. So how would you inspire a child to forgive? Say a child comes home and they're never going to speak to their best friend because their friend has said something nasty to the boy they were hankering after. What would you recommend a parent say to a child who's filled with anger and they think they're going to lose their boyfriend or whatever?
Well, I think first you have to allow the child to express all those feelings and being a loving, kind listener, you know, being supportive. The kid's really young, you might want to give him some physical affection, but somehow express unconditional love of the child and their feelings at the moment, you know, so that they know that they're accepted for them. And then after you've done that, and after the kid has calmed down a bit, or hopefully all the way, you can, you know, help them to see things from the other person's perspective. Or you could tell stories. It's always, I love to tell stories in my sessions with clients about, you know, other people who have been able to forgive by shifting perspective, understanding, after releasing, you know, the unpleasant emotion. Because, you know, people are always feeling hurt and disappointed and let down, and certainly kids do, when, you know, someone else, like on the playground or their brothers or sisters, you know, did something. So first help them, let them know that they're loved and accepted. Help them calm down with the unpleasant emotions, and then help them to see things, you know, differently. I think that would be a good start.
Yeah, that sounds great. And what comes to mind is we hear so much about where kids are harassing and abusing one another in public on Facebook. I think a little bit of forgiveness, a little bit of guidance, more guidance from the home might really help, don't you think?
It sounds that way. We're increasingly, you know, hearing about a lot of unpleasant things that take place on Facebook and these online things, and, you know, some kids have even, you know, committed suicide, unfortunately, because of being harassed on Facebook.
Right. So if the family, if we knew more or did a little more practice, some of those good exercises from your book about being able to forgive and not escalate these kinds of conflicts, we might be able to avoid some of these awful, awful events. What would you say is the limit to forgiveness, if there is one?
Well, personally, I don't think there are any limits to forgiveness. I think that forgiveness is a mindset, and that we can always, you know, it was said in the Bible, forgive 70 times 7. So that means you should be practicing forgiveness all the time in all the situations that come up in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to be, you know, foolish in your life. You do have to set limits in certain relationships or be assertive with other people even after forgiving. You know, listen to your, like, inner wisdom or inner guidance. Don't enable abusive or attacking behavior by others constantly. But, you know, you can forgive others without putting yourself in harm's way or encouraging kids to be in harm's way. So I don't think there are any limits to it, but I think you also have to use some common sense along with it.
The topic of basically, it's the area of tough love where we can forgive someone, and I think forgiveness is as much for ourselves as for the other person, or more so. So it's in line with the idea of still being assertive and removing yourself from a situation where you'll be having to forgive over and over and over again and getting hurt over and over again. So can you comment on that, on tough love?
Well, first of all, I do think, you know, mainly forgiveness is for yourself, letting go of the emotional charge that's around a situation so you can be at peace with yourself and with other people. And once you're at peace with yourself and with other people, then you need to listen to your inner wisdom or intuition about what level of interaction to have with other people. Now, in many cases, you're able to see things differently in different perspectives, and it will enhance your relationship with other people. But, you know, there are a few situations where your inner guidance or wisdom might tell you, look, it's not safe to continue interacting. You know, if you're being abused, physically abused or sexually abused in a situation, you can forgive that person, but it doesn't mean it's wise to continue interacting with that person until they get some help, you know. So that's why, you know, use good discretion in those kinds of situations is all I'm saying here.
Yes, well, we hear so much about, you know, a common example of a woman who is in an emotionally abusive or even physically abusive situation, and she tends to blame herself when she gets mistreated, and believes in forgiveness and convinces herself to put up with it. But what I see as a parenting expert is so often that the kids are confused and blame themselves and really don't understand the difference between forgiving and taking care of themselves when they watch their mother being hurt over and over again. So what would you, what are your comments on that kind of situation?
Well, I would agree with you on what you said, but I want to give another perspective, because I recently had a young client who was constantly in these kind of abusive situations with her with boyfriends, you know, and she said, you know, I realize it ends up just the way my relationship with my father was, who was always very critical and disapproving of me, et cetera. And I taught her how to like forgive her father. And when she was able to do that and really be at peace with her father, the abusive relationship ended. She got a new relationship which was much more loving and nurturing. And lo and behold, all of a sudden she started going to lunch with her father and having much more nurturing, constructive, even loving interactions with him. So, you know, sometimes it's more complicated than it looks like on the surface of things, you know?
Oh, I think that's so true. But that's a perfect example of the kind of miracles that you're talking about, that when you do the forgiveness processes, other wonderful things can happen that you never expected. That's a wonderful example. Who would you say benefits most from forgiveness? I've always said that forgiveness is more for the forgiver's healing even than for the supposed wrongdoer, because of the dangers from festering anger and resentment and even helplessness that can develop over time without exercising forgiveness. So who would you say benefits the most?
Well, first of all, I always say when you start the forgiveness process, you should set the goal first, which is, you know, peace, happiness, joy for yourself. That's number one. So that I would agree with you. Number two is, as long as you haven't forgiven someone and you're holding on to that anger, hurt, resentment, etc., then basically your moods are emotionally dependent on that other person, even if you haven't seen that person in 5, 10, 20 years. So when you forgive, you actually release yourself from the other person. You cut the emotional tie and you empower yourself, re-empower yourself. So definitely.
So true. So I'm sorry, we're up on the second break. And so we'll come back with Dr. Phil Freeman in a few minutes. Thank you.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hi, this is Randy Rolfe, and you're listening to Family First, and we're talking with Dr. Philip Freeman, who's written this wonderful book, The Forgiveness Solution, The Whole Body Prescription for Finding True Happiness, Abundant Love, and Inner Peace. And he's sharing some wonderful insights about how that all happens. And I love the idea of starting with the goal in mind, that you are looking for happiness, love, and peace. And we're all entitled to that, but we might have to do some work to get there. What do you see, Dr. Freeman, as the dangers of not employing forgiveness in your life?
Well, you know, first of all, it does affect people's health. You know, people have high blood pressure, they have back pains, they have heart problems, maybe it contributes to cancer, gastrointestinal problems, so that's one. Number two is all the research shows that it greatly improves marriages. The more forgiving people are, the more likely they are to be happily married. Obviously, it's going to create more harmony between parents and children and between parents and their own parents or their in-laws, you know, especially. So it not only brings peace, happiness, love, and joy to a higher level, it improves health, and it certainly improves, you know, relationships across the board. Also, many times I've helped people work on personal and family forgiveness, and all of a sudden they come in and they say, oh, I'm getting along much better with my boss or my colleague. Or one person, he was a financial person, pretty high up, and he had all this anger towards his kid. And I had him work on forgiving his son for some things. And then all of a sudden he came in and told me how much things had improved at work. Well, he never even told me he was having problems at work, you know. But he started forgiving the people at work, and now it was spilling over in a positive way to his other relationships in his life.
That's very powerful, and it really reminds me of what you said earlier, that forgiveness is an attitude, a state of mind, a certain perspective. So if you've learned it in one relationship, it may well spill over into others without you even trying all that hard. That's really neat. So forgiveness then is kind of a continuing state of mind rather than just something like, oh, I forgive you and all's well. Can you elaborate on that?
You do have to start, you know, relationally, one person at a time. But as you practice all these forgiveness opportunities, it becomes a general attitude or we call it a disposition to forgive. And that's really what you're aiming for, is that disposition to forgive. And ultimately, it leads to an attitude of love and acceptance of yourself and other people at a much higher level. So I always like to say, take things one step at a time, one inch at a time. But ultimately, the goal is greater love and compassion and understanding and acceptance through the process of forgiveness.
That's great. Yeah, I talk sometimes about, you know, one day at a time, but in the family relationship, sometimes it's 1 hour at a time or one minute at a time.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, once in a while, a parent comes in here and they, because of babysitter problems or this or that, you know, they bring their young kids into the waiting room, and sometimes you'll see them squabbling quite a bit in the waiting room there, and the skillful parent knows how to go in and calm them down and help them to get along with each other. But, yeah, 1 minute at a time for sure when you've got a bunch of kids, that's for sure.
Right. Now, what kinds of things do you find most essential that we forgive ourselves for? You mentioned dealing with forgiving our parents and things that happened early to us. And what kinds of things are most essential that we be aware of to let go for ourselves?
Well, really, anything that we've judged or criticized ourselves for, we feel guilty about. These could be affairs, abortions, losing our temper with someone we care about in the family, impulsive behavior, over or even under eating, spending, sexing, drinking, being lazy, insensitive, impatient, all those kinds of things that we're so quick to, judge and criticize ourselves for, or we were judged and criticized for those things when we were growing up ourselves, you know.
Oh, that's a great list. I know one of the things that they talk about with people that are fighting a weight problem is that they'll eat too big a meal and then they'll be beating themselves up and instead of forgiving the rest of the day is shot.
Yes, absolutely. This happens all the time, you know, or this could be any area, you know, it could be money, they spend too much money or they drink too much, you know, on a weekend, and then they're very critical of themselves. Any kind of addictive or potentially addictive behavior, when there's a falling back or a relapse, as we say, could be a minor relapse or it could be a major relapse, and then people can be very self-critical and judgmental rather than forgiving themselves, taking one day at a time and just moving on.
Yes, it's like returning to the scene of the crime instead of getting past it and forgiving yourself. Can a lack of forgiveness tie us unnecessarily to our past and to the bad habits you've mentioned and to self-defeating paths of thinking?
Well, definitely a lack of forgiveness, like holding on to these resentments, hurts, anger, keeps us emotionally connected to other people and energetically connected, and blocks us from making constructive, creative changes in our life. And it also disempowers us. One of the real benefits of forgiveness is it re-empowers us and it helps us to be much more resilient in life. So it's actually much more powerful than most people think in facilitating positive and constructive changes personally, relationally, spiritually, and in all areas of energetically. Gives us more energy, too, so for things that we want to do in life.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I think of the way you're describing it, that forgiveness is very much like love. I like to say it. It's an action. It's not just a state. It's an activity that generates more activity and energy. It's something you do on a regular basis rather than just a solution in a particular situation. Do you find it that it helps us? We've already talked something about forgiving parents, and that helps us become more forgiving parents and more forgiving people. And you mentioned in-laws. Can you expound on that a little bit about how that can help the family dynamics if the parents are forgiving of shortcomings in their own parents and their spouse's parents?
Well, first of all, forgiving our parents is one of the best and most valuable things we can possibly do, especially forgiving their shortcomings. As you know, almost no parents, as you know, are saints, so releasing all that hurt, anger, bitterness, guilt, criticism, negative expectations, that's really essential. That'll transform your life right there, for sure. Now, the in-law situation, of course, you know, a lot of people have struggles in that situation, but I like to say all of these situations are forgiveness opportunities, and, you know, someday we might be the in-law, or we are the in-law, or we might be the grandparents, you know, so it's a good time to forgive when you're younger, because you're going to be in the reverse roles later on anyway. But it's really very healing for all aspects of your life to forgive your parents and your in-laws. I know it's a challenge, but as I said, one inch at a time. Yard is hard and inch is a cinch, so do it one inch at a time.
Yes, yes. Now, what about if your parent has already passed away?
Well, interestingly, one of the major motivators for my book was when this young woman came in and her father died suddenly in his 50s, and her ex-boyfriend was killed in a motorcycle accident, and all of that negative emotion, all the anger she had, all the hurt, all the grief, all the guilt she had for not being able to prevent it, was spilling over into her other relationships, including a relationship with her boyfriend and her, et cetera. So it really doesn't matter whether the person is alive or not. You can still carry all of these feelings with you, and it's debilitating and disempowering you. So when you forgive, you release the past. I like to say forgiveness is the letting go of the hope for a different and better past. I'm going to repeat that. It's so powerful.
Please do.
Forgiveness is letting go of the hope for a different and better past. I mean, there are a lot of definitions of forgiveness, but really that alone will transform people's lives if they're able to, you know, follow that.
Yes, that's
and that
that's
person, you know,
powerful.
Can be alive or dead. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yes, for sure. And so it's not that you have to go and announce forgiveness to be able to heal yourself from the resentment and the anger. It doesn't require the other person's presence at all.
No, it doesn't require their presence, and it doesn't require that they're alive even, as you pointed out, because it's a shift in perception, attitudes, beliefs, choices, and, of course, feelings. And it does generate, you know, greater compassion and love in your life and in your relationships.
Now, I'm very interested in you talk about recognizing that it's an opportunity. How do you bring a person to recognize something that they just think it's horrible, it's ruined their life, and to see it as an opportunity for growth and healing and future peace and happiness? I love that moment of shift. So can you share a little more about that?
Well, I'll give an example. Someone came in not that long ago who said that she was, you know, sexually abused as a child. So I naturally assumed that if we were going to work on forgiveness, we would work on her forgiving the person who, you know, sexually abused her. But no, it didn't turn out that was the case. She really had all this resentment and anger and hurt for 15 or 20 years towards her mother, who she thought she should have protected her against this, even though her mother and her father were going through a very emotionally tumultuous, divorce process. So it was affecting, she had a lot of guilt and a lot of low self-esteem. We haven't mentioned that, but when you're not forgiving to yourself and other people, not only interferes with your relationships and your health, it was starting to affect your health, but it also can dramatically lower your self-esteem and sense of self-worth. So all of these potential benefits are there when you forgive. And it's not always who you think needs to, you know, the forgiveness. In this case, it was the parent, again, the parent, not the person who actually abused her for a number of years.
That makes a lot of sense. We're coming up on our third break, and we're speaking with Dr. Philip Friedman about forgiveness and his wonderful book, The Forgiveness Solution. So we'll be back in a couple minutes, so keep listening.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello, this is Randy Rolfe with Family First, and we're talking with Dr. Philip Friedman about his wonderful book, The Forgiveness Solution, the whole body prescription for finding true happiness, abundant love, and inner peace. And he's certainly giving us some wonderful suggestions about how to do that. And you can get from the bad place to the good place. Get a hold of his book, and you'll see exactly how. So, Dr. Friedman, what can you do when your child seems to be completely ignoring your advice or your rules or your best motivated attentions? What steps can you take to move to forgiveness when so often I have parents who they want to give up on their child, and they say, well, I'll let the authorities take him away. He's going to end up in juvenile hall or something. Sometimes there's so much anger that they give up on their child. What recommendations could you make in that situation?
Well, too, I actually started off in marital and family therapy, and, you know, 9 out of 10 times when that's going on, there's you know, conflict between the parents. Whether the parents are living together or they're divorced doesn't matter. There's conflict between the parents is being deflected onto the child. So you've got to deal with the whole family system and help all these people to forgive, not just a, you know, parent-child situation. Parent-child, I always say, you know, ask for guidance from a first deal with your negative emotions, which we've talked about before, and then ask for some intuition about how to see the best, the highest in that person, in your kid, for example. What you see in others, ultimately you see in yourself. So try to see things from their perspective and perception, but take into account the context that I was talking about in the earlier part of the answer here.
Yeah, so when you see there's that kind of inability of the parent to forgive the child and wanting to give up on the child, often you do have to switch the focus to the what I always say in the family is the primary relationship, the model for human relationships is going to be with the parents, or even if it's a single parent, there's unresolved anger towards, like we've talked about, their parent, the grandparent to the child, or maybe a boyfriend, or maybe a former in-law. So how do you help the parent realize that they have unresolved issues if they're having so much trouble believing in their child?
Well, you know, personally, you have to do a thorough interview of what's going on in their lives. Everyone is part of a relational network, and you need to explore, as you said, what is the relationship with the spouse or the ex-spouse, with the parents, with the grandparents, with the uncles, with the boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, all the emotions in those relationships spill over into the parent-child relationships, and so you have to learn to forgive the wider network, you might say. And in the process of that, I mean, there's no formula for resolving this. You really have to look at each situation individually. And then, as I say, every situation is a forgiveness opportunity.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful point. And I think the children are really another opportunity to look at ourselves. And when we have unresolved issues with the children, so often it's a flag saying we better look at ourselves.
Absolutely.
And what kind of if a parent does want to get past their anger and their fear and their worry about their child, can you give an idea of a script? Say a girl comes home from high school and says that she doesn't ever want to go to school again because she hates the teacher and she everybody hates the teacher and she's just not going to go to school, and the parent gets scared, you know, she's going to walk out the back door of the school the next morning. What do I do? What can you give just a little script of what that mother might say to the daughter in a situation where she just wants to run from the teacher and run from school and run away from her life?
Well, a particular situation came up in my mind where I had that, you know, in part of my clinical psychotherapy caseload, but, you know, I ended up teaching both mother and daughter kind of an energetic technique that worked rather dramatically, but it's going to take too much time. It's not long, but it'll take too much time on the air here to, you know, to describe it. But it worked almost magically, and the kid let go of her anger and hurt, and particularly fear, and, you know, went back to school, you know, very shortly.
That's really neat. You talk about being able to resolve issues rather quickly with an attitude of forgiveness. So that sounds like a great example. Why do you think it's so effective and so, as we talked about, it can have miracle effects on the whole relational network?
Well, of course, you know, my clinical practice, I always focus on looking at the highest good in each person when they come in. I have, you know, positive expectations for positive change. You know, when people come in feeling discouraged and helpless and hopeless, it's good to have someone around who's in a much more, you know, nurturing space, who can see the goodness within them when they can't see it in themselves, they can't see it in their kids, they can't see it in their spouse. So having that lens of looking for the light rather than the darkness in yourself and other people in itself is transformative. And, you know, that creates a miracle of forgiveness in itself and helps people to calm down and make the shifts that we've been talking about.
That sounds wonderful, and I can see how well that would work. We're coming up on the end of our show. It's gone so quickly, but what final suggestions would you like to leave our listeners with today about improving their family's well-being with a willingness to forgive, Dr. Friedman?
Well, start with a little willingness. That's actually very important. Consciously choose to forgive. Set the goal first, we said. Peace, love, joy, happiness. Keep your eye on the goal. I would say in many cases turn the process over to a higher inner power or a source of inner wisdom, intuition. Practice that psychological uplifter. That's what I call that exercise. I just gave you a brief version of where you put your hand on your heart. And, of course, you know, read my book, The Forgiveness Solution, do the exercises and or listen to, I have just come out with a whole bunch of Forgiveness Solution imagery CDs that are really powerful. So those are my final words on what might be really helpful to people.
That's wonderful. How do they get a hold of your book and the CDs? That sounds great because they can listen to them in the car or when they're not able to read, so because of their busy lives or whatever. How do they get a hold of your book and your CDs?
Well, go to my website, www.forgivenesssolution.com. And you can click on the section on CDs or on the book or the section on, forget the word that's used, where the CDs are. Just click on a couple of things, read the different examples and the ideas on the website. It's all there on the ForgivenessSolution.com website. They can attain the book and the CDs right there.
Oh, great. And do read the book. It's fantastic, and it can change your life. It is transformative. And thank you so much, Dr. Friedman, for joining me on Family First today. And thanks again. And I want to tell a little bit about our show next week. I'm having Alice Balin. She's an expert on helping families dealing with addiction, particularly eating disorders with young girls. She's been doing this for many years and has a lot to share. So thanks again, Dr. Friedman, and I hope our listeners will put it all into practice.
Well, thank you so much, Randy. It was delightful as usual to be with you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. And, you know, you've been doing for all these years great work in the world, and this is just another wonderful opportunity to get the message of healing out to people from many different perspectives.
Oh, thanks. Well, I just love what you're doing, and I'm so happy that we're working together to help the world to become a better place. Thanks again.
You're welcome, and thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.